Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These readings are hard ones for us in our modern days. All of this talk of the messenger being sent to prepare the way, this imagery of the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. And who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? A couple of weeks ago, someone said they really had a hard time with the texts around this time of year because they seemed so full of judgment. They seemed so difficult. And while I certainly do not disagree that they are difficult, perhaps in our preparing the way of the Lord, they are texts we need to hear. One of my favorite theologians, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, wrote on the themes of judgment in this way, in a sermon that he preached in 1928. "It is very remarkable," he says, "that we face the thought that God is coming so calmly, whereas previous peoples trembled at the day of God. We have become so accustomed to the idea of divine love and of God's coming at Christmas that we no longer feel the shiver of fear that God's coming should arouse in us. We are indifferent to the message, taking only the pleasant and agreeable out of it and forgetting the serious aspect. That the God of the world draws near to the people of our little earth and lays claim to us. The coming of God is truly not only glad tidings, but first of all, frightening news for everyone who has a conscience. Only when we have felt the terror of the matter can we recognize the incomparable kindness. God comes into the midst of evil and of death, and judges the evil in us and in the world, and by judging us, God cleanses us and sanctifies us and comes to us with grace and love." Bonhoeffer could be a bummer every once in a while. But there's something powerful in what he says as we prepare for the coming of Christ in Advent. It's true, we love the lightness of the season. Already, if you go into Best Buy, you will hear jingle bells and all of the wonderful music around Christmas, all goading us to buy yet one more piece of junk. But in this preparing the way of our lessons for this morning, we're caught up in the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. But we need to be careful. It has become fashionable, I think, of late, to think of that preparation as only a personal preparation, a way for me to get more moral and more clean and more ready so that when Jesus comes again, whatever that may look like, I will stand as a paragon of virtue and perfection, ready for the angels. But that's not what Jesus speaks of, nor, I think, what John speaks of. It's not just our own personal stuff that we have to burn away the bad in us or sort of take away the dross. There is also a corporate sense of both sin and redemption that we have lost in society. To prepare the way of the Lord is not simply to get ourselves ready, but to get everything ready. Now, I don't know about your house, but my house is at its best and its cleanest, its most orderly, just before someone comes to visit. The rest of the time, it just sort of is home. But oh, just before somebody comes to visit, the windows are cleaned and the furniture is swept and the floor is taken care of and the bed that normally is piled high with all of my junk, where my guests have to sleep, that all gets put away for the first time in a year. Everything is prepared and made ready and polished just before a guest comes. It seems to me this cry from the prophet and from John to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his way straight, to raise up valleys and lower hills and smooth the rough ways, is a call to live as if we are always preparing for a guest. It's very different than just getting ourselves ready. We do it for the sake of the other. All of that polishing and cleaning up the bathroom, it's all, certainly we get something out of it, I certainly do, but it's also for the person who is coming. Now, most of my guests don't actually care one way or another about what my house looks like, especially since we moved here. They're mostly here for the beach. But the preparation is needed and necessary. And so how will we prepare the way of the Lord? Well, you know, your houses. For the most part, there's all kinds of things that are laying around. I mean, unless you're one of those people. There's stuff laying around. You know who you are. There's stuff laying around that you don't see, right? You know, that pile of stuff that's been there for 6 months and every you know, morning you walk by it on your way out the door. Or the stuff that's on the counter, for me it would be mail and bills that just piles up and up and up and up and up, and I can ignore it forever. That's sort of how we live our lives. We ignore that stuff day after day after day. We become accustomed to it. We in our community here and everywhere, we do the same kinds of things. I shared in the first service that I went to another parish, to another church, not to be named, where, you know, as we walked up, the grass wasn't cut and people weren't ready and there was stuff laying around. And what it reminded me of was my own house. Well, this is sort of our house. But for people who are coming for the first time, what do they see? What do they experience? Do they find welcome? Do they find a kind of orderliness and cleanliness? Do they find us to be ready to receive them as a congregation and as God's body in Christ? Will they know where to sit? Can they find the bathrooms? Will they be able to find their way through the liturgy? Yes, they will. Somebody in the first service said, no. I said, yes, they will if you help them. If you help us. All of these things are ways that we need to live as if we are preparing the way. As if every day in our lives and in our ministry and in our dealings with the world is preparing the way of the Lord. It applies to the way that we treat our guests in church and at home and in our lives. Imagine if every encounter we had was as if you were meeting a new guest. We tend to trot out our holiness and our compassion during the holidays. We're good at preparing the way of the Lord around Thanksgiving and Christmas. Witness the fact that over Thanksgiving, IHS, which is Institute for Human Services, which is a service organization for our homeless on the island, and ANC, which is Angel Network, which does the same kind of work, were overwhelmed with food and people wanting to help at Thanksgiving. At Christmas, they will be overwhelmed with food and people wanting to help. But by February or March, the shelves will be empty and people will be busy again. I think that preaching a baptism into repentance for the forgiveness of sins is about living out that life of preparation for the way of the Lord in every moment, year round. Practicing the compassion of a God who sends his only Son to die for us year round. To welcome the stranger every day. To see our lives, our church, our ministry, our community through the eyes of compassion. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, says the Lord, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. It may be a little bit of a difficult way to look at this time of coming, but God brings us that fuller's soap and refiner's fire that our lives might prepare the way of the Lord for those who are hungry and homeless and helpless, those who are lonely and joyful and cared for. Prepare the way of the Lord and make God's way straight, you body of Christ. Amen.